welcome to another Book on the Shelf podcast. I'm Jet.
And I'm Jen.
We're on episode 98.
So close.
And it's a book club episode. We have a bi-monthly book club. That's how all of this got started. We started a book club and never talked about the books.
Yep.
We literally went almost a year.
Yeah, we really did. It was October. So
it was just like, cool, basically. You read it? Yep, cool.
we literally said nothing to each other about it.
But yeah, so this was my, when are we? This was my May-June pick? Is that how it worked? Yeah.
Yes. Right?
And I picked Home Before Dark by Riley Sager. I feel like we've covered a lot of the gamuts. I think we've even done an episode on thrillers, but we have not done a thriller for a book club.
Yes.
So, dove in, picked this one. Over the last year, whatever, part of this year and a little bit of last year, I've actually read most of Riley Sager's books. Final Girls, Now They're All Escaping Me. No. Final Girls, Lock Every Door, The Last Time I Lied, and this one.
Nice.
He has two newer ones. Last year, Survive the Night came out, which is on my list, but I wanted to like try and read all the other ones first.
Nice.
And then I was going to have that one read before the new one came out, which is The House Across the Lake. And it just came out in June. So we're a little behind, but we tried. But yeah, he's a New York Times bestselling author. And he has won the ITW Thriller Award for Best Hardcover Novel. Ooh. And he's from Pennsylvania and now lives in Princeton, New Jersey.
There you go.
That's all I got. Why don't you tell us a little bit about Home Before Dark?
Yes. So, basically, we've got a story within a story with this one. So, before our sort of main narrative starts, 25 years prior, main character, Maggie Holt, she's our narrator. She and her parents moved into Bainbury Hall, this, like, giant old Victorian estate in the middle of the Vermont woods, as you do.
Yeah.
You know? I have things to say about this later. They only lasted there 3 weeks before they fled in the middle of the night. And then her dad ended up writing a book called House of Horrors, which was about the haunting of this house and why they ran from it. So they were being haunted by other ghosts. So obviously this has followed Maggie throughout her entire life.
Yes.
Now she's a restorer of old homes. She's too young to remember anything that happened in the book, although she has read it multiple times. She also is convinced that it's all lies because ghosts obviously don't exist. But then her father dies, she inherits the house, and so she goes back to renovate it, to prepare to sell it, but also to try and figure out what, like, actually happened.
Yeah.
And then things just get crazy from there.
Real fast.
And so, yeah, then it just moves back and forth between Maggie in real time telling us her story at this house, trying to figure things out and trying to, like, do the restorations on it. And then interspersed with, like, every second, they switch, what do you call it?
Alternate?
Thank you. That's the one. They alternate chapters. And then you get, like, you get to read her dad's book, basically.
Yes.
As well, every other chapter.
And now, obviously, with, I mean, if you've been here before, you know, we're spoiler full podcast.
Oh yeah, there is going to be so many.
This spoilers. Being a thriller with like twists and like reveals, feel free to pause, read said book, and come back.
I do recommend you not be spoiled for something like this because that's just half the fun.
Well, yeah, and that's what it is, right? So like now, you know, having read four of his, and I've just in general like read a fair bit of thrillers over the last couple years. Yeah, like you just, and even like bits of this one, like it goes right till the very end.
Oh yeah.
Before everything gets sorted.
Yep.
So, yeah. We always spoil things, but this is definitely one where we are epic spoiler alerting.
Absolutely.
Even the podcat has now joined us because she is saying spoilers.
Spoiler alert.
Yep. There we go. Get that podcat booty going. Here we go.
So now that we've wiped our hands of the spoiler responsibilities, yes. Don't come after us. You've been warned.
Yes. So, as I said, this is my fourth Riley Sager.
Nice. How does it hold up to the other ones? Like, are they fairly consistent? This is what I always want to know.
Yeah. Like they're all very, very different. So, Final Girls is basically about girls not that don't necessarily have, like, a group, but where there had been... this is awkward to talk about these days. Like, a mass murder, or, like, you know, a gaggle of... You know, like at a sorority where, like, five girls are killed, but, like, one survives. Or, like, a house invasion, and then, like, one person's... Right, so it's these final girls.
Okay.
From around the country that kind of end up somehow connected and talking to each other or whatever. And then Lock Every Door is, you know, the usual girl goes to New York, needs money, finds an ad where it's they just need someone to, like, stay in this apartment for, like, the summer while, like, the tenants are away.
Right.
And then the building gets weird. And the tenants are weird. and The Last Time I Lied is a girl went to summer camp when she was, like, you know, summer camp age, 10 or 12, and a couple of older girls went missing, and then this is, like, 15 or 20 years later, they try to reopen, like, the rich old lady who owns the camp wants to reopen it, because it's been closed, shut down this whole time, and she gets her to go back, and then it turns into, like, trying to figure out maybe what had happened to those girls.
Okay.
So, yeah, like, and a lot of them have the kind of, like, back and forth, like, especially The Last Time I Lied, like, it was going from when she was, like, you know, 10, 12 at the summer camp to then now. Mm-hmm. And the others, I can't remember, like, if, yeah, I feel like there's a bit of flipping. But, yeah, definitely just in that way of you feel like you're getting so much information.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get to the next chapter and you're like, I don't fucking know anything. like that way, especially and especially with this one, too, with it flipping back and forth.
Yes.
Because they do sort of parallel and keep going in a way that seems continuous. You know, you get a little bit from her dad, and then it goes to her, and, it, you know, maybe it has something to do with the character that was in that chapter before, or, like, something that, it, you know, the room that he was in, then she's in that room, or, like, something like that. So you keep getting those bits. But then, yeah, it's always, like, down to the end. And I don't think I've figured any of them out.
Nice. Yeah, I definitely had not had this one figured out. Like, even remotely.
Yeah, there was a while where I was like, oh, I think I know. And then it was something else. And I was like, oh, yeah, yes. Nope, that wasn't...
Because there was a minute where I was like, I knew it! And then I was like, I didn't know shit.
Well, and this one... is so...
Well played.
Yeah, so focused on the supernatural, the ghosts, the haunting side of things, whereas the other ones are more just murder mystery weird.
Right, and because of that, I was actually so, like, it really did keep me guessing. I was like, okay, wait, is this gonna be a straight up ghost story, or is, like, because I'm like,
yeah,
it's thrillers, right? It's not, like, supernatural horror. Like, this isn't a Stephen King novel. But like, I am here to tell you that if I, for whatever bizarre, insane reason, ever decided to purchase this house, which I wouldn't, I would have left so fast. 3 weeks? Man, you lasted a long time, folks.
Well, and because, so, like, in her dad's book, and again, which, like, she believes everything's fake, a lot of people, maybe not, like, the general public, but, like, the people in this town, except for they all are like, this is crap, it's not real. Like, and again, because we don't know if any of it happened or what, whatever. But, yeah, like, the first time one of those things happened, like,
oh, yeah,
he's
no.
out. Snakes falling from the ceiling?
I was gonna
Out.
say, the thing that would have sealed the deal for me was those snakes, because I've never been so horrified reading something in my life.
The podcat and I have a, you know how like cats like look off into like somewhere in a corner of a room and you're like, what is
Yeah.
that? And that's always the question, is it a bug or a ghost? Because you know what? If it's a bug, we're gonna have to freaking deal with it. If it's a ghost, whatever. So yeah, ghost haunting, ringing the bells, fine. Giant snake nest falling out of the ceiling into
Hard
my coffee
pass.
cup?
I was gonna
No.
say, tiny baby snake in my coffee cup? Absolutely not.
I'm never drinking anything but water from a clear glass ever again.
Right? Honestly, when his book continues and he's still just like drinking coffee in that house, I'm like, sir, you are a braver person than I am. So basically how that passage goes, right? Like, I mean, I'm going to assume you've all read this, but like,
Yes.
I cannot fathom. And you know, snakes don't even bother me that much. Like,
No.
they really don't. But in this context, entire snake nest falling from your ceiling, entirely too much.
Yeah, like it just makes so in Manitoba, there's the Narcisse snake bit, which is where, like, I don't know if it's like all the garden snakes in North America are born, but some sort of situation.
Okay. God.
Google this if you want to, everyone.
What?
I don't know if I'm gonna remember how to spell it, but if you just Google like Manitoba snake pit, it'll come
I
up. But
will Google that and put it in the show notes, so if you're
it's
real curious.
just a giant snake pit where garter snakes, I mean, again, garter snakes, small, harmless, whatever.
Right.
But in the spring, when all the new snakes come, it's like, it's a situation. Oh yes,
Wow.
Narcisse, Narcisse. It's a situation, you guys. And I've never even been there. I just know about it because like we grew, I grew up near it. I'm like, no, not happening. It has like it's like a famous thing. Like there's a sign. It's a whole like it's just no. Absolutely not.
Right. But also, there is no way you would ever convince me to stay in that house by myself.
Yeah, right. So, like, even if we just like, even if we take her dad's book as like true, it really did happen or whatever, like, because he goes through like when they were looking at it, going to move in, and like, it all just sounds creepy. And then it ends up, it's not just that like someone was murdered there, which is one of those like, you know,
Huge thing, though.
real estate things where they have to like tell you or whatever.
Right.
But it was like multiple people died
Multiple
there.
people. And like, here's the thing. I know he didn't, like, when they first moved in, they didn't know about every single one, but you knew about the most recent one, which was a murder-suicide
Yeah, a dad and a daughter.
of a father who killed his daughter, which I have questions about, but I have theories on that. So like that automatically I'd be like, no. Like I am absolutely not living here. It's not happening. But then to find out that the first owner, well, I guess they didn't know that either when they first bought it, right?
I can't
That
remember.
the original owner, the guy who built it, William Garson,
Yeah.
that his daughter also died in the house.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. And then there was just a bunch of like related accidents because it used to be, you know, it was like famous and like famous people would come to this like house and like stay there and.
Like, even if it's not haunted, that house is cursed. Keep me away from it. Thank you
Yeah.
very much. Absolutely horrible. No, thank you.
And I will say, like, the, you know, the House of Horrors, like, the dad's book is written very well. Like, if you
Oh, it's
weren't
properly
part of it and you just,
spooky.
like, bought this book and you were like, okay, like, we're being told that this was true, like, it, you know, was ringing the bells and, like, communicating with the one father and then, like, all this stuff. Like, it was, and that's what, and that's why it was so hard to tell throughout, like, and again, because, like, Maggie didn't know, but, like, did it happen? Did it not happen? Like, what? And, like, I don't know if it was just because, like, I wanted there to be ghosts, or I
I mean, like, I kind of did too. I was like, come on, let this be real. I just want this to be real. But also, do I?
Yeah.
Terrifying. But it reminded me of like Haunting of Hill House. Like, it had that kind of vibes, especially with like, because that family is going in to like renovate the house. And they do also have those bells because it's an old house with too many rooms. Yeah. But like, I don't even know. Like, Maggie seeing those creepy. The fact that she was like that Mr. Shadow and what was it?
Mrs. Pennyface? Something Pennyface?
Something like that.
Yeah, it was the
Penny
little girl.
Eyes or?
Yeah, Penny Eyes and then Mr. Shadow.
Because that actually happened. Like, that's not one of the things her father lied about or embellished in the book.
Yeah.
If my small child came to me and started talking about Mr. Shadow and Miss Penny Eyes or whatever creepy shit it was,
yeah,
I'd be like, we are leaving this place immediately. Well, because either there are two options here, right? Either there are ghosts in this house or there are creepy people.
Yeah.
And it ends up being the latter.
One could, right? Because they even, like, take her to see a psychiatrist. So, in his book, you don't know if that's real. So, like, she eventually, like, actually talks to the psychiatrist because they're all still in no one left the little small town. And you're just like, oh, you know, like, she's just really imaginative. She's fine. No, this girl is screaming and, like, punching other children.
Yeah.
And out she's of fear.
Terrified of her armoire. Which, again, hard pass. Absolutely not. First of all, I would not let that child sleep in that room anymore. I'd be like, okay, we're moving you into a different room. This is far too much.
And the, like, the record player always turning
on.
Oh,
no. Yeah, that would... I would have done what Maggie eventually did and taken that record player outside and smashed it with a baseball bat.
And, like, fully, like, office spaced it. 100%. Yes.
Because no chance.
No.
I would have cracked that record in half.
Yeah.
And then they just find a body in the ceiling. Like, oh, my God.
Well, because then that's part of it, too, right? Is so when her and her family lived there, the day they fled, a girl went missing who was, like, the neighbor girl that they knew.
Yeah, who so would babysit Maggie sometimes.
Yeah, so, like, for 25 years, just this 16-year-old girl has been missing. And then a body just falls out of the snake pit hole.
Truly horrifying.
Well, even, like, because when it first started, so, like, Maggie and her friend Allie have this, like, restoration team that they, like, flip houses and stuff like that. So the whole time I was like, why are you going by yourself?
Right.
Why is Allie not, like, that's what I thought. I was like, oh, right. Cool, like, Allie's going to go with her. And then she didn't. And I was like
a sane person.
What are you doing?
Right. There's no way. There's no way. If I had a restoration business with my friend, I'd be like, you are coming with me. Yeah. I am not confronting this scary ass house on my own.
No matter what your business was.
Right.
You're coming with me.
Like, old houses are creepy, man.
Yeah. No, don't get me wrong. We're still going to move into some giant black old Victorian witch house in Massachusetts one day. But, like, hopefully, in my
sure
head,
it's not haunted first.
I've envisioned the current owners fully renovating and updating it so that on the inside it's modern and not creepy. and not with, like, you know, bells and trapdoors and secret doors
secret
from
doorway?
The outside
that lean into the armoire. I literally cannot think of anything creepier.
It's reverse Narnia in
kind
of the creepiest way.
Yeah, no, that was also horrifying. When she discovered that, I was like, oh, no. No.
Yeah.
No.
Since we both kind of wanted it to be real ghosts, what are your thoughts on ghosts? Have you seen a ghost? What are your haunting
views?
Have I
personally seen a ghost? I have not personally seen a ghost. I have a slight skepticism of ghosts, but mostly I'm like, no, they're probably real. So, okay. I mean, like, there are like stories of ghosts in my family. And just like weird things, you know? Like I think it was my grandma who I can't remember who in what scenario. It was like one of her sisters had died, and I cannot remember how because apparently my brain is just mush. But like someone woke up in the middle of the night and was like, something's wrong with Maud. And indeed, Maud had died.
Oof.
Yeah. So like just like little things like that.
Yeah.
And then also, so there was a an instance. We have a light, like a salt lamp in our just like our living room area. And the light bulb had gone out, and we were too lazy to change it because that's just how we are. And it was like annoying because I kept like going to turn it on and like then being annoyed with myself for forgetting that it had been that it wasn't on, that the light bulb was dead. And there was one day that I was sitting there, and like something happened with the door. Like the door either slammed shut and then the light went on. And then, okay, so I dismissed it as like, because I think it was my sister was here when it happened. And I had just dismissed it as like, okay, it was probably a breeze and maybe the light bulb wasn't actually out. Maybe it was just like not screwed in, it had gotten loose or something, right? But then we find out that at that same time, the lady that lived down the hall from us died. And the light thing was really weird. Like, it just didn't make any sense. Like, we don't move it. Like, there's no way it could have gotten jarred and then unjarred. Like, it was just strange. Anyway, I swear that lady was just like coming through. Thanks for restoring our light, I guess. Yeah, it was creepy. And we didn't find that out until later. And then it was like, oh my God, that was when the light and the door thing happened. Do you have ghost stories?
Well, and it's one of those things where, like, and it's funny because in the book there's a quote. It's like, I believe science. Wait, what is it? I believe science, which has concluded that when we die, we die. Our souls don't stay behind, lingering like strange cats until someone notices us. We don't become shadow versions of ourselves. We don't haunt. But at the same time, I 100% saw two girls standing on the not spiral, the other staircase in the members' lounge.
No.
For like a hot second.
I mean, I am also 100% convinced that place is haunted.
I
So.
mean, yeah, it's over 200 years old. Like, no, like, and like 100, like I can still see it right now.
Oh my God.
It was just one of those where you're like, keep going, keep
Oh my
going.
God. I went into that basement once at night to get a
No.
sweater. Okay, because I was in the espresso bar and I was cold and it
Yeah.
was one of those later nights and I was like, "Oh, I know I have a sweater in the members lounge." And I thought it was tucked under the thing in the kitchen.
Yep.
And it wasn't there. So I was like, "Son of a bitch, this
Yeah.
sweater is probably in the basement." So I went down there and I was like, "I regret all of my choices."
Yes. For anyone who doesn't know, in Toronto, there's the Art Gallery of Ontario, and the original building that was the art gallery, is like, I mean, now it's probably what, 205 years old or something
Yeah,
like that.
something like that.
But it's a historic building, so they can't do stuff on the inside. It was then attached to the now building, and it's become the members lounge, and like there's obviously like a giant, art gallery. But yeah, so because it's of its historical status, like we didn't have running water to run our espresso machines. We had jugs of water. And there was just like it's just
Sometimes.
the bait, and yeah, like they like kept things as it was, so like the light that library's probably super haunted, and like the stuff,
That
yeah, the
library is
stuff
super
in
creepy.
the basement, like yeah. So yeah, anything that like anytime anything happened in there, just like, oh yeah, of course. But the one time that I still can see to this day, I had to have been under 10. So, like, easily 30 years ago. And I remember we were driving to my grandma's. We used to live like 5 hours away. So, like, by the time we left and then by the time we get there, like, we'd be driving at night in like the prairies. So, like, driving in the prairies when it's dark means it's dark. It's not like city suburban driving.
Right.
It's the country. The kind where you literally can't see anything until you get to like see the next light at like a farm 10 miles down the road kind of a thing. And we were driving on the highway and there was another car coming towards us. Like we both like dimmed our, my parents obviously like, dimmed the headlights. So you're not like blinding each other. Cause yeah, cause like it's so dark, you always like have to have your high beams on and that kind of
Right.
stuff. just so you can like see the road. And I can like, there was a man standing in the road
Oh God.
and I can remember like being in the back seat and that, and I didn't say anything. And I can just remember being like, why is no one stopping? Why is no one stopping? And then like our car and this other car like passed each other and like in theory like one of us went like I can like because like, I can see the lights and then like his like silhouetted outline, like I can still see it.
Oh my God.
And I can just remember sitting in the back being like and having that moment of like, why am I not saying anything? Why is no one stopping? Why is no one swerving?
Oh
Why
my
is this person in the,
God.
and like so ever since then I'm like I'm not saying it's science, but I'm not saying that it's not real.
Right. Well, here's my thing with the science, okay? Is there are still a lot of things about the universe that we don't know.
Absolutely.
For instance, the fact that like the theory of relativity and quantum mechanics both exist and work at the same time, and yet we're still not quite sure
Yeah.
how they work together. Like, there's a lot we don't know. So who's to say that it's not just some weird energetic, like it's all just energy and electricity and stuff, right? So like maybe it's just weird like
Well, that's the whole thing, right?
concentrations
Is
of
that like
energy
you can't
that's
create
unmeasurable
or
because we haven't
destroy
figured it out.
energy, right? Isn't that a
Exactly.
thing, right? So then, like,
Yeah.
in theory, it has to go
Right.
somewhere.
And if certain energy is attracted to certain things, then why wouldn't maybe certain objects or people? Oh, another thing that always happens whenever somebody that my grandma knows dies, she hears the doorbell ring, even if it's in the middle of the night. Isn't that the creepiest shit you've ever heard of?
That's creepy. It was like that Friends episode where like Phoebe didn't want to go to the dentist because every time she goes to the dentist, somebody dies or something like
Yeah.
that.
It's too much for me.
Well, and like so like in the book, obviously like when Maggie gets there, then like these little things start happening. So then like how like again like it's such a mind fuck, like
Yes.
because the things keep going missing.
Yeah, my
And
conviction
just like,
in
oh.
like the skepticism of ghosts is not so strong that I would be able to brush all that off as like natural, as like actual physical explanations, even though that's what ends up happening.
Yes.
I had peaced out of there so long ago.
And that's just it, 'cause like in both books technically, right? Like it's done so well that like you don't know.
Yeah, you don't. You really don't. Not until like the very, very end.
And because like every time Maggie sort of disproves something from her father's book, something else almost seems to be proven.
Yes.
So then you're just like,
Yeah. But no, it turns out they just had creepy neighbors who kept sneaking into their house.
yeah. And like, giant epic spoiler, the mom, the wife of the last family that died
Yeah,
there,
the murder-suicide family.
yeah, like was the one who caused, Maggie's family to flee, the one who killed the girl, but then her parents thought Maggie did it.
Okay,
And
that
then.
to me was such a mess. I was like, first of all, this child is five. No one is convicting this 5-year-old of murder. They're gonna call it an
100%.
accident.
100%.
Why are you not contacting the police? What is happening here? Oh my God. Like, nothing is gonna happen to this child. She's a child. And as far as they can tell, maybe they got into like a bit of a tussle. But again, no one's thinking this 5-year-old deliberately pushed her babysitter down the stairs with the intention of killing her.
No. 'Cause yeah, it wasn't like she, when you watch those like episodes of like Law and Order and stuff where the kid's like an 8-year-old sociopath and you're like, this is so so creepy. Like, right. It wasn't like that. She was just a scared girl who kept, like she said, she was seeing things. So, like, even if they wanted to, like, go, like, the crazy route, like, it still wouldn't have been...
Right.
Like,
she would have had a little bit of child therapy.
Yeah. Which she probably needed anyway.
Right? Because she was seeing actual people come out of her closet.
Yes. Oh.
I just cannot imagine being a child that young and, like, you know, having your parents be like, oh, yeah, monsters are real. There's nothing in your closet. But there is literally something in your armor. Like, actual people coming out of it.
It's the exact opposite of, like, Monsters, Inc., where they, like, go and try to, like,
right.
scare them and get their screen. This is, like, real.
So creepy.
Oh, my God.
So, yeah, there was definitely a point where, like, where she thinks that Dane did it.
Yep.
And I was like, I thought he was creepy. But then, actually, he wasn't.
No, he just, like, happened to have, like...
Yeah.
You know.
Felt bad for him, actually.
Like, a prison record because he'd gotten into a drunk fight and, like, whatever. And
Yeah.
But then, yeah, then there's the point where, like, she thinks that she...
Right. And you're like, okay.
Because at this point, like, her parents thought she did it. So they did all this to, like, protect her. They said it was haunted. Her dad wrote the book to, like, sort of, like, throw everyone off the scent. Mm-hmm. And they just kept telling her no, whatever, because, like, they thought it was her.
Yes.
So, like, even for them, like, how hard would that have been? Just being like, oh, yeah, you know, 30 years later, like, our daughter's a murderer. It's fine.
Yes, like, no wonder they got divorced.
Right?
Yeah, like, 100%. Yeah. That there's absolutely no way you could stay together after that.
No. It's hard enough even if, like, it 100% was an accident or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
Anytime something like that happens, it always, ugh. But then, yeah. So then, like, as you keep getting these little crumbs... Then there's like, oh, crap, like, she did it. But she didn't. Yeah, it was okay.
She did not. No. Marta Carver did it. Which then I was like... Then I didn't trust this woman.
No. Well, and because... So the sister of the girl that went missing, who mm-hmm. we then end up... They find her body. You think it's her or that she has something to do with it. Because, like... And it's, yeah, like, it was woven very well in a way mm-hmm. where you just kept not knowing. And then, yeah, Marta at the end, I was not.
Well, then I was like, did she murder her family?
That was what I.
And then I was wondering, was there a little girl even sick or was she Munchausen her with those berries?
100%.
Right?
For sure.
Especially the way she was, like, weird. With Maggie, where she'd, like, come and, like, watch her. And even then when she, like, gave her the poison pie and the way she was with her. And I was like, oh, no, this is a Munchausen thing.
Well, and it was super creepy because it was, like, a cherry pie. And there's one point where she said, like, because she was eating it and, like, she dropped some. And they talked about how it was, like, blood red something something. Yeah. And I was just like, oh, this is creepy. And they'd referred to the baneberries before, like, when it's, like, super baneberry season, like, it looks like the hills are covered in blood
right.
kind of thing. And I was just, it was just, you know, those couple of those little things. And then you're like, oh, the baneberries.
Yeah. Like, was she making their daughter sick? And then the husband found out. So then she just killed them both.
I think that is a highly likely.
Because that's super just suspicious to me.
Yes.
I don't trust this woman at all now.
No. Definitely not.
Yeah. So that's my theory about the end, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I also just, like, I really like, I mean, it's not a closed dorm. It's a, like, a location thriller mystery. I don't know, like, I've read a bunch of three Lucy Foley books, and, like, you know, like, the Paris apartment is loaded, so it's, like, the apartment building, you're like, what's happening? Or again, then, so, like, Riley Sager's lock every door is mm-hmm. the apartment, like, it's
right
sort of this, like, closed in area, you know, or, like, you know, Lucy Foley, the guest list, they're on, like, the remotest little tiny
Well, kind of like Agatha Christie used to do with some of hers, right? Like,
Yeah, where it's that, like, not necessarily like closed door mystery where like everyone was in the room but the lights went out, so like somebody did it. Like, not quite that type, but in that like specific locale type
Yeah.
mystery question. Yeah, it's just, and again, it really just made me want a giant old Victorian house, but not a haunt.
Did
But again, on the outside, when you look on the inside, oh, fully modern, not
I mean, I
spooky.
am get but by the end when she was like October in Vermont, I was like, yes.
Yes.
Yes, that is exactly what I want. All day, every day, October in Vermont.
Oh, and it would have like the veranda and the porch swing. Oh,
Yeah.
I did have a veranda at one point in one of our old houses, but we never had
Nice.
a porch swing.
I have always wanted a porch swing, like
Right.
goals.
Absolutely, like so hard.
Yeah.
I would even deal, if it was some sort of, friendly ghost situation
No,
to get a
no
porch swing.
ghosts.
Yeah, sure, it's fine. Just
No
open the cupboard
ghosts.
doors, close them, it's fine.
No ghosts. No, thank you. So I guess my like wishy-washy skepticism is actually I full-blown believe in ghosts and they terrify me. And my aunt lived in a haunted house in BC that was haunted by the old lady that lived there before, Mrs. Crowder. It's all very weird. I don't like it. The dog wouldn't go in the basement. It would just stand at the top of the stairs and like
Oh, see,
growl.
like,
Yeah, no.
that's just it. Like, as soon as the animals get involved, and that's again, that's why I always ask Slifer, is it a bug or a ghost? You know, because like, they know,
Yeah, I know. That's what I
they have
wonder.
different senses than us. They
Yeah.
can see, feel, hear.
Yep. Nope. 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 Like, I am pretty, like, not a chicken, I've realized, when it comes to, like, horror movies and stuff. But, like, the ghost stuff definitely freaks me out more than anything else.
Again, because I feel like, I mean, well, clearly, we believe.
Yes.
Like the possibility of like some disturbed person, breaking into a house and like killing a family, like that's slightly just, unfortunately, like more realistic. Like that
Right.
happens, you're just like,
Yeah.
okay, yeah, sure, horror movie. Ooh, someone's gonna, the knife, it's Scream, ah, Drew Barrymore dies. But like,
Right.
spoiler for like 1997.
I don't think that's a spoiler. It happens in like the first,
I know, right?
like, 10 minutes of the film, doesn't it?
That was the whole point. But yeah, like because the ghost is that more unknown, like.
Yes. And also, like, okay, I realize this is ridiculous because I probably could not fight off somebody who broke into my place and was trying to murder me. But theoretically, I could fight that person off. How do you
Yes.
fight off a ghost, man?
Don't know.
That thing's in the walls.
Yep.
Absolutely not.
So, have you read a lot of other like thrillery type books like this?
Not really, actually.
Okay, yeah. That's also kind of why I wanted to pick it, because I didn't think it was, while it has been one of my like genres of choices last year, I didn't really think it
Yeah.
was one of yours.
Yeah, now I want to. Now I want to read the rest of them.
Yeah.
Well, and I like because I got my copy from the library on my Kobo,
Nice.
and they had like a little sample of, I think, Survive the Night,
Yeah.
and I didn't read the whole thing because I didn't have time. But like I just read like a little bit, and I was like, oh, I kind of want to read this one now. So.
Yeah, that one I've really wanted to read. It's, what is it, like the 90s? And like, is she hitchhiking or something? But then there's someone, and
Yeah,
she ends
they're
up on a
like
driving
they're
with someone, and.
yeah. They like are driving somewhere together. I think I can't remember if it's to or from college, but
Yeah.
she's like a huge film buff. So I feel like there's going to be a lot of fun, like, film references. And also, you can tell he's playing with style again.
Yeah.
With, like, because I was just, like, when I was flipping through, it would be, like, exterior, whatever, like a script. Which is just fun to me, so.
Oh, yeah. Charlie Jordan is being driven across the country by a serial killer. Maybe. Behind the wheel is Josh Baxter, a stranger Charlie met by the college rideshare board. Who there also has a good reason for leaving university in the middle of the term. They share their stories on the road killer, but there's also been, like, this campus killer person. And, yeah. Who knows what could happen? What did you think just of, like, I mean, obviously we've kind of talked about, like, Saker's writing and stuff, just because we
talked about that. Oh, I liked it. It was good. Like, yeah, like, I mean, I like... I don't often read a lot of stories in first person or first person present, for that matter.
Yeah,
that's what these are. So that always takes me always takes me a moment to get used to. But once I do, like, it, you don't even notice it.
Yeah.
And I liked, like, it's all very, like, immediate, which is obviously what you need for this kind of genre.
Yeah, there was no, like, in both versions, right? There was no preamble. Mm-hmm. They needed a house. They bought the house. Spooky stuff. Like, they moved in 2 days later, like, spooky stuff right away. You know, Maggie, her, you know, at this point, her dad already died. Like, she's at the lawyer getting, like, the will information. She finds out about it, talks to her mom, bam, goes and see it. Like, it's just within, like, their first two chapters, like, the family is at the house and she's at the house. Like,
And I really loved the going back and forth, because it really makes you, like, what I really like about books like this is you're always trying to figure it out. Like, I like that part of it, the part where you're like, oh, but what's happening here? And, like, every time I would read one of her dad's chapters, I'd be, like, paying really close attention to what was happening with her, to be like, okay, so, like, what's a lie? Are there little hints in here?
Yeah.
It's fun.
Yeah. Well, and I think it's Every Time I Lied, it's that same thing where, again, it's the like past, the present, and then I think maybe other characters. I can't remember. I know Lucy, because again, I've also read, like, I read his four books and then three of the Lucy Foley books, like, all within a year. So they're kind of like the Lucy Foley ones. They don't necessarily flip time, but each chapter is a different character.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, like the guest list is a wedding. So it sometimes I can't remember if it's, like, fully, like, chronological or if it's a little bit, like, back and forth. But again, every character, it's someone else. You're getting someone else's perspective.
Nice.
And so then you kind of, you know, you have to keep, like, jumping into, like, okay, well, then this person said this, and then, okay, this person said, you know, and, like, yeah. Cause you, again, just like with this, where you're getting the crumbs from Ewan and then from Maggie.
Right.
Both versions, that you're just getting the little bits and then, like, what's happening? They're just, because, and it's so funny, because, like, in my head, these are sort of like popcorn beach read, you know.
Yeah, totally.
Again, you can, you know, read them in a weekend, like, it's fun. Yeah. They quick, whatever, but it's not actually taking away from, like, any of the skill of the writing.
Oh no, for sure. Well, it's just a different skill is required. Yeah. Like, you wouldn't want somebody who writes literary fiction to write a thriller for you. Like,
yeah, like, it would not be good.
That's not going to work.
No.
You know? So.
Yeah.
And, I mean, like, reading something like this, I'm always like, man, how do you even come up with twists like this? Like, you'd have to, like, reverse engineer it. Writing something like this always sounds very complicated to me, because I am terrible at plot.
Oof.
I'm like, can't my characters just vibe? Like, can't that be a book?
Well,
I guess if you're Sally Rooney, they kind of can.
Right? Yeah, that kind of has it. But that's just it, right? So, like, okay, so he's like, okay, I'm going to have, like, a haunted house, and I'm going to flip back and forth, you know, like, right? Like, the basic blurb. Okay, present day, Maggie has to go back to the house, but, like, past day, you know, it was family, it was haunted, her dad wrote a book. But then to get through all the, yeah, like, do you immediately know?
That's what
the
I mean.
End,
like, did
or
he
like, do
know?
you kind of just keep
Yeah,
going
did he
and then all of a
write
sudden you're like,
towards that?
ooh.
Yeah, or did he like figure it out after?
Because some
This
people,
is
like,
what I want to know.
when they talk about writing, you know, they kind of, you know, as much as they sort of plan things or whatever, but they like let their characters speak for them. But like for something like this, like it needs to be.
Right. It needs to be very well like plotted and like planned.
And especially because, you know, the other ones, and then with this one, like, had it actually just been ghosts, you could have kind of just done that, right? Like, you could have just sort of been like,
Totally.
blah, blah, you know what? Oh, yeah, it was totally a ghost. It was this, you know, whatever. And then somehow, like, you know, resolved it because someone, like, you know, you watched the ghost write a note or something. I don't know, whatever. But because it's none of it actually is super, you have to know it, like. And again, even just all these little tiny characters that like you don't get a lot of, but you need to know enough
Right.
that then and like, man,
Yeah.
it is highly technical
Right?
when you would not necessarily think it is.
Yeah, I really want to. I would really love to know what his writing process is. Because it seems like if you didn't already have the ending in mind, it would be a huge pain in the ass to go back and like fix everything. Although I say that, and so I'm not going to have to do that with my current book that I'm writing.
Well, that's just it, right? Because even
Joke's on me, kids. You always have to do that.
well, right? Like, just no matter what, even if you're like, okay, you had it planned and this and that, but then you're like, oh, you know, wait, it should be this one thing should be changed. Like, you have to go back and find all those things. So
Right.
yeah, like it. I feel like this has to be one of those like super, super plotted.
Right? There must be like, you must have like a board of
Yeah.
like plot points and like, right?
And like where, well, and then even just
Cue cards and
with,
sticky notes.
oh yeah, I feel like string. We're getting back to the serial killers where they have, you go into the thing
Right?
and they have all the strings and the pictures of everybody. But like, and then the train derailed. No, but so the two books, right? So even that part of it, is he writing all of House of Horrors first, or is he writing Maggie's story first, or
I
is he
don't
writing
know.
those back and forth? Like, how is that planned out, and then
Yeah.
deciding like where to cut them, or like, because
I know, right?
especially with this one, like this was technically two books,
Yeah.
whereas like I get, like it could have kind of been like, you know, all of the like stuff in there, you know, and then like could have been just all chronological, but because it was separate and like writing in two different voices too, right? Like her and her dad, and then like what is he deciding, like what's real, what's not real, you know, right? Because like the dad's book is mostly actually fake, but then I'm like, oh man.
Yeah, so you'd have to write that with all of the like falsified bits in mind and
And
what was
but and like
true in
have them
mind.
marked in a way that you're like,
Oh,
okay,
yeah.
you know, the record player this, the photo, you know, photograph this, go into the library this, you know. Even so, the biggest thing, right, it's when in the book within the book, Maggie ends up running out into a cemetery and falling on a gravestone
Right.
and like cracking her face open, and it's like the grave of the original owner, spooky. But then when Maggie actually goes out there, it's just like a pet cemetery. It's not actually that.
Right.
And it's also not how she like she never that never happened. Like she never that's not how she
No,
cut
that's
her
not how
face.
she got that cut on her face.
But so like all those little things being like, so you'd have like, yeah,
Yeah.
you would have to have so many notes of just like, okay, so I've said all of these things. These three are fake. These three are real. These are the three that are gonna morph into something else. Like, ugh.
Yeah.
Writing is amazing, but so hard.
Right? Plot is so hard, you guys.
So hard.
This is why sometimes I think it would be fun to like write for a TV show, but like not have to be responsible for the plot points. Like, just let me write the characters in their little scenarios. That I can do.
Yeah.
Please don't make me come up with the plot, though. Can I be in charge of dialogue and emotional moments? Anyway. Yeah.
It's just, yeah. So yeah, of course, now I'm just like, do I just read Survive the Night right away? Because I really want to get to The House Across the Lake, because it's kind of like Rear Window.
Oh, okay, fun.
Yeah, like literally like one of those an actress or something like that. And like, you can, okay. Like there's a couple that lives across the lake. And
I've never actually seen Rear Window.
I don't think I've actually seen it either, but just throughout existing as long as I have and film school and whatever, like I know what the...
Yeah, totally. Maybe I should watch Rear Window.
Yeah. Because it's like, what's his face? And he like, what, broke his leg? So he's like sitting, yeah. He's like looking at, you know, the neighbors or something like that. And something happened. But yeah, so just like based off of like all the different books that I've read so far, and then how like kind of, you know, having the idea of what Survive the Night is, like House Across the Lake again, like how is that, like how is that gonna go? Like is it gonna flip between like the main character and then like the other couple, or like how, like, yeah, I'm just so intrigued to like, basically, I know, right? The moral of my rambles is Riley Sager is like an auto buy.
Yeah.
For me.
Yeah.
Just because, yeah, like they've been.
I might have to go put a bunch more on hold on my Kobo, especially because they're probably going to take 500 weeks to get to me.
Well, and that's it, right? Like if you go back, right? Like the three older books, then like maybe it'll be a little.
Start with those ones.
Yeah. But yeah, like I'm just. Good times.
Great times. Extremely fun times.
Would you recommend this book?
Definitely.
Yeah.
100%. I don't know. Like, I mean, like, I guess this would have to be your vibe, right? Like.
Yeah, it's definitely like, you know, we talk about this just about every episode, right? Like, there are certain ones where it's like, like, you know, across the board, recommend to anyone. But just the fact that this is a thriller, no matter what type of thriller, that, you know, you have a specific audience, because it's also like kind of supernatural spooky specific audience, but like anyone that I like remotely thought would have this. I'm pretty sure Steph, when she was flying here, she got this as an audiobook, but I forgot to ask her if she finished it when she flew back home. I'll have to double check. Yeah, see, these as an audiobook, no thank you.
Yeah, I was actually just thinking that. I don't think I could do it as an audiobook. I think it would be too much for me. Because, like, I don't normally get creeped out reading books. I really don't. But if I was reading this at night, I had to make sure I was reading something else afterwards.
That's what I'm saying.
Just to, like, give me a little palate cleanse.
Yeah, well, because I end up reading a lot of these, and, like, the Lucy Foley ones are Simone St. James, so... Last year I read The Sundown Motel, and just before this I had read The Book of Cold Cases. Why did I go back to back with these? Not smart. And again, like, they're all so, so good.
Right.
And so if you're into thrillers, highly recommend those two authors.
I did read what was that? Simone St. James, the one about the hotel. Sundown Motel?
The Sundown Motel, yeah.
Yeah, I read that one. I really liked that one.
Well, and see, that one, I had gotten into a routine of, like, actually trying to, like, read before bed kind of a thing.
Right.
Mistake.
See, that one didn't creep me out as much as this one.
Well, see, for me, it's not the actual books. Like, at no point, like, I got more creeped out reading Jaws. Because I remember at a point where I was reading Jaws and I was literally, like, tipping the book away from me so I could sort of see the page and still read. But I was like, but it's just like shows, so like Walking, although I watched like Criminal Minds and Law and Order all the time, but like Walking Dead, or like, you know,
Walking Dead is creepy as hell.
American Horror Story, those
Especially
ones
at the beginning.
I can watch all of those, but if I watch them at night, then nighttime brain, and again, I'm watching them and I am perfectly fine, no jumping, no nothing,
yeah,
but then nighttime brain gives you spooky dreams about the vampire or the zombie apocalypse, and you're trying to hide out in the gallery because we had all the badges and all the things locked, and I knew the kitchen would be okay because there'd be a lot of food and like
God.
Creepy stuff like that. Which then you had to like go to work. Then I had to like go to work really early one morning, and the gallery was all dark, and I was just like, no.
Listen, one time my sister and I were watching The Walking Dead and the power went out and it was dark and it was
Right?
terrifying.
And that's what it's like with these books. Like, yeah, like it's like I
Because we were like,
don't.
oh my God, this is the zombie apocalypse.
No. And that's just it. Yeah. So like I can't read them when it's dark out.
That's
Because
fair.
yeah, you have to read something, like read, just get a couple pages in of something else. Because otherwise, nighttime brain gets the spook sauce, and I can't. Oh, but also I love them.
They're very fun. Like, yeah. And if you are looking for sort of, something that you don't have to, that like still gets your brain working because you're like trying to work out what's happening.
But not in
But
that, like.
yeah, but isn't like a super, it's still, I don't want to call it fluffy because it's not really fluffy, but like it's like, I like your term, like popcorn. It's like a popcorn book.
Well, right, and it's, like, I went to see Top Gun. Amazing movie, but like,
Right.
that was, I wasn't, like, really using my brain. Like, it
Right.
wasn't one of those, like, oh, deep Oscar winning
Right.
film festival, like. Independent, like that kind of a thing. But it was hella fucking fun. And we were like on the edges of our seats with our popcorn, having like, and my Lisa, Lisa, we always fight about this because like, I love the Transformers movies and I know they're so bad. I know they're bad. And she, like, you can't even say Michael Bay without her like wanting to like break stuff.
That's a valid opinion.
Oh yeah, and like that's just it. It's not wrong. It's correct. But like I can watch them. It's people watching Twilight. We know this movie is not good.
Right.
But we know if original Twilight is on, you're watching it. Right? Like, and it's still that you're getting something out of it. You're enjoying it. It's
Well, not everything has to be the next great American novel, like,
When I, and you
and it
wouldn't know
shouldn't
that
be.
something was a great American novel if you weren't reading other things, and that doesn't
Right.
make them any less or like not valid. It's just, yeah, you
Right, exactly.
know?
Entertainment is just as valid, guys.
Yes. Because it's all entertaining in the end, right?
Yes. So yeah, if you're looking for some, spooky thrills.
Good times.
Definitely.
We have a very popular book coming up
Yes,
next.
we do.
We have done Daisy Jones and the Six by Taylor Jenkins Reid. That show will be coming out, I mean, probably next year. They have finished filming, but post-production.
Yes.
So intrigue there, but The Seven Husbands of Evelyn Hugo. We're doing that next. We both had to buy that book
Yeah, we did. Because the whole
because.
situation at the library is a redonkulous, both digitally and physically.
Yeah, digitally, it's over 1,500
Yeah, it's wild.
holds. I also believe that this is being turned into some sort of series or something like
I
that.
think so too, yeah.
But they're keeping it at this point very, very, like, hush hush. So, yeah. Yeah, Bookstagram made me do it. Next episode, 99, almost at 100.
I know.
So close.
So close.
So yeah, we'll see you in 2 weeks. We will be. I don't even know what it's about. It's just
I
one of
don't
those
even
books
really
where
either,
like,
if we're being
I
honest.
have it on the list.
Yeah.
I'm assuming she's had a few husbands.
Yeah.
I think there's like some good representational stuff and like
Incredible. I'm
I think
excited.
it's queer and somehow I can't, because again, I
I
haven't.
also think so, and I'm not, I don't,
Yeah.
I'm not sure
Because it's just one of those ones where I kept
how.
just being like, because we love Daisy Jones so much, I was like, oh, like, whatever, I'm just gonna get it and read it. So I
Right,
never
and because
like.
it's been so popular too, I was
Yeah.
like, yeah, I'll definitely put this on my list.
And we always know that I just go into books never having read the blurb.
I mean, sometimes that's the way to do it,
Oh. But yes, if you have thriller recommendations, send them our way. You know where to find us, Another Book Podcast, anotherbookontheshelf.com, all those good things. And we'll see you in 2 weeks.
Bye.